Blog Talk Radio.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media Interview, sponsored by 1-800-DIALDJs.com and recorded live from the new media capital of the world and birthplace of the Home Shopping Network, Hooters, and Outback Steakhouse, Tampa Bay. Start each show talking about so much media, so little time, but David Matheson sees the media differently. Instead of observing it from afar or listening to it from afar, he wants you to be the media. That's right, you, yourself. Matheson, a former executive with the Reuters news agency, among other things, takes the whole notion of 21st century media very seriously. In his new self-published handbook, Be the Media, How to Create and Accelerate Your Message, Your Way, Matheson lays out how anyone can have a message and spread it using online tools ranging from standby, or non-online tools, I should say, ranging from standby such as print, radio, and video, to blogs and podcasts. Forget the so-called media elite, he says, and as one of them, I object, and take control of spreading the word about your own project yourself, whether you're the producer of music, films, podcasts, radio, or television programs. Honestly, I couldn't agree more. And I would add that Matheson's book, which you can order on Amazon.com or on his website, bethemedia.org, is a perfect companion bookend for Guy Kawasaki's most recent new book, Reality Check. Together, this is 3 pounds, 13 ounces of paper. And trust me, I weighed them together, that you should really own and study. Let's see. David, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thanks so much for having me on, Bob.
My pleasure. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you? A little chilly in New York. I bet it's a little bit warmer down there.
Barely. Today's the first warm day we've had in about 10 in Florida, so yeah.
Well, this should be a hot interview.
I hope it heats up something. I don't know. So, David, where did you get the cockamamie idea to write this book? I mean, what part of media elite do you not understand?
Oh, it's funny. You know, it's really just observation, right? I mean, there's so many ways. You know, that every time I researched this book for about 5 years and I looked in every media field and saw the, you know, on one hand, you've got this increasing consolidation of control of corporations really controlling the majority of everything we see, hear, and read. But then at the same time, you saw this, you know, unheard of flourishing of creativity that was revolutionizing, you know, really what I consider more than a revolution, more like a renaissance of creativity, from everyone using social networks to using podcasts that really revolutionized radio and iTunes and digital music files that really revolutionized the music industry. So we see a real renaissance of creativity unheard of in human terms, in terms of, you know, looking through the past. This is really one of the most incredible renaissance periods of our of human history. Even the past renaissances, I mean, in some ways you needed to have a really wealthy patron to get your work out, and especially the Italian art world with the Medicis and others. But today, you don't need all you need is an inexpensive cell phone or an even less expensive a blog or a podcast to get your voice and your messages out there. So it's kind of observing what's happening out there and basically putting it all together in one book under one roof so that people can see, wow, it's easier than ever to get my word out through a blog or a podcast or video through YouTube and other means.
There you go again. Making it easy, spreading the word, giving out proprietary information. Maybe, did you ever think that the media elites might not want to share this information?
There's a battle going on. You're absolutely right. They don't want to. And, you know, we see this happening on a number of fronts. And one is certainly seeing cable companies and phone companies. You know, if the future of media is really all going online and going digital, there's a real consensus among the media elites. How do we control this flourishing of creativity? Now, we've seen this in renaissances of the past, you know, either religious or political or state or even military forces coming together to actually try and keep control over a renaissance period. And in our own generation. You know, we saw this happen in radio and television, where policy issues, especially in the United States, were kind of made behind closed doors by the media elite, as you say, and their water carriers in Congress, where we basically gift-wrapped the public airwaves during the radio days and the television days and even cable and satellite to the interests of big business. And so we're seeing the same thing going on now. And again, as I mentioned, if the future is all online, you'll see what's happening is that the cable and the phone companies really want to control those on-ramps, so that we're basically eating the food that they create and serve for us. Best example of that right now, it's going on right now. I mean, Cablevision is trying to buy NBC Universal, and that would give them not only control over the pipes, but the content that flows through the pipes. So it might push my show, you know, the Be the Media radio show, and your show, Bob, onto the virtual dirt path of the information highway, and give them and their content the high-speed access. So, you know, these are the kinds of things I think we have to be watchful for as the media elites start to circle the wagons and try and figure out how not only they can control it, but force us to buy from their acts and the people and messages that they want to promote.
Now, David, correct me if I'm wrong. Am I correct about this? You self-published Be the Media, is that right?
Absolutely. And, yeah, just to clarify one thing, we're actually not available on Amazon. We're trying to go at direct as long and as far as we can. And, you know, for a lot of listeners out there, they may not be aware, if you're a musician or a filmmaker or an author, when you go through distributors and resellers, you give up 50% to 60% of your royalties. So because we wrote the book on this, we're trying to, you know, take it to eat our own cooking here and say, you know, the best way to promote and to support your favorite artists is to buy from them direct. And this way they keep a majority of the royalties and they can go on to create even greater and greater products to serve customers. So, yeah, we self-published the book. It's a 536-page book, as you mentioned. It's 2 pounds, 3 ounces. And I've never been put in the same sentence as Guy Kawasaki, so thank you so much for that honor. That's an endorsement that really I'm very proud of, so thank you. And, yeah, well, we sell direct through BeTheMedia.com.
Okay, but I wasn't lying, folks. I'm looking at Amazon.com now, and you can order Be the Media on Amazon, whether David likes it or not.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody, as a matter of fact, they're friends of mine. You know, a couple of people have put the book up for resale, and you know, I've sent them notes saying, please, you know, we're trying to sell direct, and that's our big message. But yeah, it's up there and available, not directly through me. And again, you know, the other big thing about selling through resellers is we say three big things in Be the Media. If there's three takeaways from this call, you know, one is, control the rights to your work. You know, don't sell out to a publisher as long as you can, or to a distributor if you're a filmmaker, or a music label if you're a musician. Number two of the three is have a direct relationship with your audience. So when you sell through a reseller, not only do I give up 50% of the revenues to an Amazon or a Barnes & Noble, but more important is that you give up the customer contact information. So when I sell through Amazon, I have no idea who those customers are, and we want to have a direct relationship with you, our customers. And, you know, also for authors and filmmakers and musicians, you should always be trying to build your base. And the more you get intermediaries in the middle, the harder it is for you to continue to build your base and build your list. And, you know, you've got nine books out there, Bob. You know, what the challenge that you have is when you go to sell or try to get an agent or a publisher to sign on to your next book, if you haven't built up that base and proved that you've got a pretty big platform, you're at the wrong end of the negotiating curve. So we encourage authors, musicians, filmmakers, make sure you're doing things to build up your email list and your customer contact list, because that's critical for future work.
So did you not attempt when you first conceived of this to go the traditional publishing route, or has it always been intended to be published this way?
Well, good question. I mean, you know, for the first year of, you know, investigating the publishing landscape, and, you know, I've been around the block. I mean, I was vice president with Reuters from 94 to 99, the world's largest news agency. And it's funny, when you write a book, as you know, Bob, you've done nine of them, you really become an expert in the field just by doing all the research and doing the interviews with experts as well. And I found that I originally was out there creating a book proposal. And I think that's a good exercise for anyone, whether you're getting a traditional publishing deal or going it alone. Creating the book proposal really gives you an idea of how big the audience for the book is, you know, what kind of promotions you should be doing, and it really defines what the book will end up looking like. So, yeah, I did. I mean, I created a book proposal. It was a giant loose-leaf binder, the biggest loose-leaf binder you can buy. And went out and shopped it, and interestingly enough, had a couple of agents chase me down and a couple of publishers. And when I got the first publishing agreement, it was a really author-friendly agreement. And I'm still friends with the president. He's a great guy. It's Stephen Piersanti out of Barrett Kohler out of San Francisco. And they've published, you know, some great books, Confessions of an Economic Hitman by John Perkins and some others. And a very author-friendly contract. But when I noticed, you know, in other words, by author-friendly, I mean they gave me rights to certain things that I wanted to have the rights to, and they gave a higher percentage of royalties than most other publishers. But the downside to me was that, you know, I'm preaching that people should go direct, and, you know, by going out and signing a publishing contract, it would have really defeated the purpose of the book. But also, I really wanted to control other rights that they weren't willing to give up, and I wanted to own all the royalties. I didn't want to own, you know, even 20, you know, they were up to a higher percentage than most. You know, most publishers just give you between 7 and 20% of the royalties, and I wanted to own all of the royalties. And as I mentioned too, Bob, you know, that's our big pitch in the book, is to, you can do it yourself now, and you should try and do it yourself for as long as possible. And I'm not saying, you know, we're not really throwing stones at traditional publishers. There may be other people out there who are, you know, Emeril Lagasse, who you've had on your show, you know, cooks or chefs who have a full-time job and don't have the time or the opportunity to promote the book that a self-publisher would. So there are, and even a Mark Victor Hansen, you know, he's in a position now, Chicken Soup for the Soul is the biggest publishing empire on the planet, and he has the ability to strike a much better negotiating stance with a publisher because he has a large platform than somebody new like me coming into the publishing world. So,
well, let's take your book in hand and apply it. So you publish the book yourself. You have very tight control of the distribution, except for those books for sale on Amazon, and you're controlling the publicity, the whole thing. Take folks through, let's give them a practical hands-on sense of the book. Take them through the book and describe how you've applied certain aspects of Be the Media to your own project.
That's a great point. You know, we're trying to take the book's advice. And so what I mean by that is, I mentioned two of the three big takeaways. The first is make sure you have a direct relationship with your audience so you can build your base but also understand what the needs of your audience is. Number two, make sure that you control the rights. And so you're really touching on now the third big leg of our message, which is you need to repurpose that original work into as many different media platforms as possible so that you can get your message to people wherever, whenever, and however they want. That means following the advice of the book. You know, the first chapter of the book is how to blog. The second is how to self-publish. There's chapters on how to podcast and how to create a radio show. There's chapters on how to use YouTube and creating videos and distributing them through YouTube, as well as chapters on syndication and licensing and other things. And if you look at it in the broadest perspective, Bob, this is really a blueprint for individuals to go out and create their own diversified media company, just like the big conglomerates do. You know, they don't make their money always from the book itself or the CD itself. They make revenue streams from other diversified opportunities, which includes, you know, speaking events or conferences or a radio show, for example, or an affiliate relationship where you can get additional revenue streams from all the potential opportunities that you as the messenger have. The book is just one piece of the message. And as you know, Bob, you've got a book, you've got a radio show, same thing with Be the Media. We first had a blog. You know, we started out with very simple, inexpensive blogging platform. It's bethemedia.org. From there, created the book, Be the Media, and we're self-publishing that. We've self-published that. Then we're at the point now where we're actually creating a radio show on Blog Talk Radio. We also had an invite from Clear Channel out in the San Francisco Bay Area to put that show up on terrestrial radio. And now what we're doing is we're creating a Be the Media University, which is basically all of the chapters in the book are going to be available online in a course. So we'll have a blogging 101 course, a webinar course, and then a podcasting 101, just like and bringing in expert faculty to each of those different webinars. So again, you know, the point is to try to get the messages that you have into as many different media fields as possible, because we know that some people like to read about your message. Some people prefer to hear it on the air or through streaming or through a blog talk radio show. Other people really prefer to learn by looking at things, in other words, seeing the video for it. And others prefer maybe an experiential event like a conference or a trade show. So we're trying to take the advice in the book and start to offer those other services so that people can listen to our message however, wherever, and whenever they want.
I know you did the first edition of the Be the Media radio show last week, which I've listened to, and I encourage people to give an ear to. How did it go for you as a host?
It was incredible. We had Alan Levy, the CEO of Blog Talk Radio, on. And, you know, the great thing about his platform is it's really democratized radio. And I didn't really, you know, I've had a Blog Talk Radio name, the Be the Media, has been up there for about a year, but I really didn't leverage it. It was only after I met Alan when we both co-presented at Columbia University Journalism School, and then subsequently at the United Nations, both Alan and I were invited to speak there on social media. And it really impressed me. You know, it really reminded me that I should probably practice what I preach and not focus so much on the terrestrial shows of the old regime, but really start to embrace the new technologies such as this one and podcasting. So I was really happily surprised with the number of active listeners on the premiere show. But then, as you know, the archive is really getting a lot of hits. I mean, we're getting a tremendous, and I think Alan, you know, all kudos and credit go to Alan, because I think whether you're a novice at this or whether you're an experienced Blog Talk Radio host, lots of folks wanted to tune in to ask Alan questions, both on the chat window and through the call-in line. So, yeah, I'm really, really happy. As a matter of fact, I'm meeting Alan on Thursday. We're going to meet for breakfast in the city on Thursday.
Oh.
So
tell him I said hello.
I would certainly do that. And you've been one of his best hosts. I mean, you've had some incredible, incredible guests on your show. How on earth did you book all of these, you know, star A-list guests?
Well, I did the same thing that you did to get to 28,860 Twitter followers. Everyone who signs up gets a free chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah, that's it. Free is good. Chocolate chip's even better.
Now, what, you know, you talked a lot about the advantages of being the media, as the, you know, the title of the book, Be the Media. But what are the disadvantages to doing it yourself and being out there and not having any filter between yourself and the consuming public?
Number one, it's a lot of work. You know, I don't want to downplay the amount of effort that you need to put in. And that's why I mentioned for some, you know, famous authors or musicians or filmmakers, it makes a lot of sense to go out and have a label or a publisher do some of the hard work. But here's the reality. The reality is that those folks, the labels and the publishers and the studios, they're requiring the authors and the filmmakers and the musicians to go out and do most of the publicity themselves anyway. You know, I mean, maybe you're lucky and you'll get an advance, but you know, we need to remember that an advance is not free. An advance is a loan, euphemistically called an advance, and you need to pay that advance back, and it's paid back through royalties. And if all you're making is pennies per book or CD in royalties, you're not making that much money. And a lot of artists, is, you know, I don't have to tell you, all the musicians who've struggled and gone bankrupt to pay back their advances and really still owe the label money after all is said and done. So, you know, but the number one thing is, yeah, it is hard and it's a lot of work and you need to be focused on it. The other good piece of news about that is, sadly, there are lots of layoffs in the music industry and the publishing industry. The positive side of that message is all of these folks with 20 and 30 years experience with lots of contacts in their Rolodex, they're all being laid off and hanging up their own shingles. And what we see is evolving here is what we call an artist services model, where all of those pieces of the puzzle that take a lot of work and take a lot of time and resources, you can now outsource promotion, publicity, a lot of the online stuff to all these folks who are now out there in, solo entrepreneurs who are now out there in the market. And you can outsource a lot of that heavy lifting to some of these folks who've got the experience and the contacts to do it for you.
I think one of the things that I caution people about, though, when they start, especially experienced journalists who hear all the talk about online and they see the proliferation of blogs and news sites and that kind of thing, is there are two types of income from being online, doing a blog or a podcast, whatever it may be. There is direct income from advertising, which we would describe as slim to none. And there is indirect income, which is that you're creating a platform for yourself and you're making yourself visible, and you can attract other work or other opportunities. Very few people out there are making a ton of money from advertising for their that appears on their blog or their podcast or that kind of thing. The medium is not to that point yet. So I do like to caution people to that effect.
Agreed. And, you know, one of the things in the very intro to the book, we're trying to teach people to create, as I said, the third main leg of our three main messages would be repurpose your work and have a back end. You know, we've got a book. You've got a number of books. You know, so when you add it all up, there may be incremental small, the incremental revenue streams may be small, but when you add them all up, you know, you want to make sure that you can make a living from this. And that's why we say if you've got a book or a CD or a film, you should also consider having a radio show where you might be able to get a little bit of advertising revenue, but you can also sell your book or your CD because you've got a bigger platform. But that's why we're opening up the Be the Media University. You know, that's sort of our top line product at $1,000 plus, you know, for 8 modules. That's where we need fewer and fewer fans because you're generating higher and higher revenue streams from the same. Basically, we're just repurposing the book and offering it as an online webinar where you can do live Q&A and call-ins. So, you know what I mean? If you have 1,000 true fans who are buying your book and you only get 100 people who sign on to the $1,000 university, that's still $100,000 just from the university piece. So, yeah, I completely agree with you. You know, make sure that as a host, you know, you've got something that you're promoting because it's certainly not going to come in ad revenue. But I can say from your show and from my show, you know, we're both getting such great guests on, and the listeners to these shows are an aggregated audience that some sponsors would certainly want to get in front of. I mean, you've got a great sponsor for your show. And, you know, the others that might be interested would be folks like Microsoft or Adobe or Sony or Apple or Dell or Toshiba, because we all need computers in order to get online and to make our music or make our books. We all need software. The audience for your show and for my show, they all need software like Adobe and others. So, you know, think a little bit about the show and figure out, well, are there potential sponsors that want to get in front of my niche audience? And the wonderful news is you don't need millions of listeners because you've got a targeted audience. Maybe 1,000 or 2,000 size audience is interesting enough for them to want to get their message in front of.
There's another aspect of this that I like. You mentioned I do. I mean, I make my living writing books with people, and I get approached by far more people than I can possibly work with. And a lot of them really don't stand a chance of selling a book into a traditional commercial publisher. But the thing about becoming the media yourself, doing it yourself, I tell a lot of people, and they just don't really, they're not really ready to grasp this, but you can, if you want to do your memoirs, you know, for your family and your friends, you no longer have to publish a hard-bound book, a paperback book, something you can hold in your hand. You can publish it chapter at a time as a blog entry, in a website, and then you can use all the tools that are in David Matheson's book to promote it and spread it, and your book will probably be read by more people by being accessible online and searchable and keyword searchable than you'll ever get by printing, you know, 250 of them and giving them to your friends and family, who, by the way, are not likely to read your book anyway.
Exactly, and you know, it's you hit some great points. I mean, you could create a blog post. One of the services we mentioned in Be the Media is Blurb, BLURB.com, Blurb. And what they do is they take your blog posts and they put a binding on it and they create a book of it. So it's such a low cost. That's the wonderful thing about what's happening today is in the past, you know, you had to get a publisher and it cost a lot of money to print up the book and to promote it. So, you know, you needed to basically commit to the publisher that you were going to sell, you know, thousands or tens of thousands of books. Well, the great news today is, you know, you can use print-on-demand vendor. You could go take a digital file and bring it down to your local Kinko's, and they'll bind it for you that day, you know, and print up 10 or 20 of those. So if all you want to do, as you said, is print up memoirs and get it to your office employees or to your family, it's more and more accessible these days and less expensive. So it makes economic sense to do it in the print-on-demand mode or just putting it up on a blog rather than going the traditional route of trying to sell it to an agent and sell it to a publisher and hope that you're going to sell 50,000 copies to make back all the costs. We don't have to worry about any of that anymore.
I've mentioned a couple times that your book, and I mean this sincerely, because Kawasaki's book, Reality Check, I just thought it was a phenomenal resource, and I think that Be the Media goes very well with that. But one of the other things I noticed that it has in common with it is that you had a willingness to turn to other people for chapters on subjects where maybe you lacked expertise.
Absolutely. You know, surrounding yourself with giants, you know, or working on the shoulders of giants and bringing in experts is not only a great way to create content, but it's even better when you get to the promotional aspects, because I wanted to not only get the experts in the field, but also those who had a built-in audience, so that when the book came out, we could promote it into those audiences. Creative Commons is a great example. You know, Creative Commons provides a much less restrictive alternative to the rigid restrictions of copyright, and you know, they've got 500,000 people following them on Twitter. They just made a beautiful post about our book yesterday. It's on the blog at creativecommons.org. And, you know, again, now all of a sudden, and we also, of course, since we licensed that using a Creative Commons license, we can give that chapter away for free. You know, 9 of our chapters are all using Creative Commons licenses. So we've offered them up for free on our site. They've offered it up for free to their users on their site. And we've had almost 100 downloads of that chapter just from the Creative Commons blog post and from them messaging the fact that the chapter is available. So, yeah, getting experts in is great on two levels. One, you get expert content. Two, they can help you do the promotion.
So as we start to wind down here, what's next? You're going to do the university next. Will there be another book, or is it too? It's probably a little soon to do another book until the media changes a little more, right?
Yeah, we're into the, you know, we published in May, so we're in the first year, and we've had tremendous university adoption. The book's in a lot of major J schools and communication schools throughout the country. So what we'll see next is, you know, we're going to really start to blast out the audio version of the book, where we're going to be using Blog Talk Radio to do that. And then we'll see the Be the Media University kick in around the March or March timeframe. And then from there, I think, you know, we're looking at edition 2, but we probably won't be publishing edition 2 until a year from now.
Well, it'll be something to look forward to. I didn't get my invitation in the mail to contribute a chapter, though. I guess it must have bounced, huh?
It will be on its way. And also, we're also looking for expert faculty for the Be the Media University. You're certainly invited to take a look at that, Bob. We'd love to have you be a part of that.
There you go. Boy, I sure can twist an arm, can't I, folks? Listen, speaking of which, folks, you can find Be the Media, How to Create and Accelerate Your Message Your Way by my guest, David Matheson. It's available for sale. It will be for sale on MrMedia.com because you'll go through Amazon to buy it, and as long as it's available there. But probably the most surefire way to get it is at BeTheMedia.org. That's BeTheMedia.org. You can also join David's legion of followers on Twitter. It's twitter.com/BeTheMedia. Or find his Facebook fan page. And it's got a long, complicated URL that I'm not going to read out loud. David, this was a lot of fun. I enjoyed listening to your show, your debut show last week. And I know you've got some Chuck Lavelle, I think, has done an episode, and you have some other stuff coming up. Thank you.
Well, that's right. Yeah, tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern time, we've got Chuck Lavelle and Michelle Schacht, singer-songwriter and activist. And Chuck Lavelle has played with everyone from the Rolling Stones to the Allman Brothers. But more importantly, he's also got this Mother Nature Network, or MNN.com. He's a dedicated environmentalist, and he's a tree farmer. So it should be an interesting interview.
He's a tree farmer, not a tree hugger. Is that what you're saying?
I think it's combined, but he definitely is a tree farmer. He's got a giant plantation in Georgia where he's recycling the oxygen thanks to and the carbon dioxide. So,
very good. Well, David, thanks so much for joining us on Mr. Media today. It was a pleasure to have you and get to talk to you directly.
Thanks so much, Bob. I look forward to more.
All right. Good luck.
Thank you.
And folks, for more original interviews with online entrepreneurs and business people and media folks, surf over to our main website. That's www.mrmedia.com. That's where you can listen to my earlier conversations with Guy Kawasaki and many others. And subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@andelman.com. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, www.twitter.com/andelman and facebook.com/andelman. Check out the cute picture of me with Alvin and the Chipmunks. Anyway, thanks so much for joining us today. Always appreciate when you give up a little piece of your day. Come spend it with us. Thanks for listening, everybody.